Praise God. Good to see you this evening. Y'all having a good week? Things going well with y'all? Yes. It is well with my soul. Amen. Is that Julie? Hi, Julie. Hey, good to see you. I guess you're back from college. Oh, she's been off at Region up in Virginia. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to pray and jump in here. Father, we thank you so much. You're a good God. Thank you for bringing Julie home safely and all of our other students that are away at school. Father, we thank you that you watch over them and you protect them where they are. And Frank, as he's in Korea, and everybody else that's part of Good News Church that's dispersed throughout the world. Father, we thank you that you watch over all of us that are here and all of us that are there. And because that's your God, wherever we go, that you go with us, you protect us, you watch over us. We thank you for that tonight. Hallelujah. We're trusting in you tonight. You're our God. You're our leader. You are the one who is leading us, and you are guiding us and directing us, and you're leading us into good things. Good things in Jesus' name. Good things. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We thank you so much for it. In Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Amen. Can be seated. A couple of things I want to share tonight. And there's a verse of scripture. It's not one that I read often, certainly not in here, but it's something that's very familiar. As I read it, you're going to be like, oh, some of you are going to be like, that's a scripture. But yeah, it is. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Excuse me. You ever heard that? To everything there is a season and there's a time to every purpose. Now it's interesting because God, he is not limited by time. He operates outside of time because he's God, and time is something that's of this earth. It's determined by, you know, the sun coming up, the sun going down, and the earth rotating, and then the earth revolving around the sun. All of this creates our sense of time, but God's outside of that. God, God is yesterday, today, and forever. So, and he is and always has been and always will be. So somehow or another, God exists outside of time. But while we're here in these bodies, we exist in time and we deal with time. Any of y'all know about dealing with time? We deal with time, and time, there's several ways we deal with time. First of all, we can't stop it. Have you noticed that? I mean, it's like, I often tell young moms like Kristen and different ones, I always say, you know, I feel just like you do. You know, to me, I'm like, I'll be with people that are in their 20s and I think I'm them, and then I realize, no, you're not. You know, like I feel like I'm a little wiser and maybe a little slower, but I feel very similar. You know, I really identify with being young. The only thing is that just the sun kept coming up. And I guess that's what it's like when you get older, you know, when you get really old, you know. Yeah. No, I was thinking of my short granny who was in her 80s. You know, I was just thinking about short granny who, if short granny had lived, would be 103 years old. But, you know, but it was just the sun kept coming up, and that made, you know, it causes you to progress. And our bodies were not designed, or they, because of the curse, are not designed, you know, they're not going to live forever. The sun is impacting us, and day by day we're, you know, these earthly vessels are decaying. And so, but time affects us. First of all, we can't stop it, and it's frustrating because some of us, we want to slow it down or we want to stop it. And then time impacts us in this way. We get so much going on in our lives, and we all only have 24 hours in a day. We all have the same amount of time, but every one of us feels like we have too much for the 24 hours we're allotted. So, you know, you talk to people and they tell you everybody wants to convince you how they're busier than you are. But nobody really is. The reality is we all have the same 24 hours. It's what you choose to do with yours. And as my mom has told me many times, people do what they want to do. And you find ways to make time for what's important to you. But we're not going to talk about that. And then there's this other thing about time that's kind of like, and it's that time seems to drag on. Time goes too fast at time, you know, time goes too fast when you're looking at your kids growing up maybe, or some things, and it's passing by. But on the other hand, there are times where it just drags on, like you're waiting for something, or you're enduring something, or you're working on something, and there's a challenge ahead, and it just seems to drag. When will it ever be over? Because you're wanting relief. And I've noticed myself at various times in my life, I set a date out in front of me. And I'll say, okay, I'm just, and what I do is just set in my mind, because I'll be under like a lot of stress, and I'll just put out in my mind, like last year I was dealing with this because our daughter got married on July 31st, and then we were scheduled to go to Australia, and a lot of stuff. And so in my mind, I just said September 1st. I can't wait till September 1st. So when I was feeling like just a lot of hectic stuff, I'd go, September 1st, it's coming. All I got to do is keep getting up and going to bed. And September 1st, it'll come. And there'll be relief for me come September 1st. So, you know, so I'll do that. I'll put something out in the future. And it's like, but it seems like, you know, my goodness, time can drag on at times, like, you know. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When it's like you're going through, oh, my goodness, like getting through school. I saw Eric raise it, like getting through school. It seems like forever. But then on the other hand, you turn around and you're like, oh, my goodness, that was just this little bit of time in my life. But so we deal, and I just brought all that up to say we all have frustrations with time. We all have things we deal with time. But we deal with time. And so let's just face it. We're going to have to deal with it. God can help us deal with it, but he can't take us out of time. Because if he took us out of time, it's called death. That's when you get taken out of time. And I don't want any of y'all getting taken out now. But there is a time, and God works within these times. He's not, he himself is not limited by time, but he does work with time, with us. And there are seasons and times of things that happen. And I don't know, we could get really philosophical about what's going on. I don't exactly understand it. I do know this, God instituted seed, time, and harvest. And there is a principle there. There's a principle of, there's time to plant, and it's work to plant. And then there's this waiting time, and even during that waiting time, there's work to be done. And then there's harvest time, and during harvest time, there's work to be done. There's always work to be done. Even when there's when it comes to the eating, there's still work left because you got to clean up. So there's always work to be done, but there's that process of seed, time, and harvest that shows you that even spiritual things. And Jesus taught us in Mark 4 that the kingdom of God operates on that principle. It is as if a man casts seed in the ground. So even the kingdom of God operates in this, in seeds, time, and harvest. And so when we're walking with God, everything is not just immediate. Have any of y'all ever noticed that things aren't just immediate? Any of y'all ever get frustrated because it seemed like to you the time had come? I can't be the only one that thought, you know, God, I'm pretty sure the time for that's already come. What are you doing? But here we're dealing with it now. I'm going to just read a couple of scriptures about time just so you see this is scriptural. 1 Thessalonians, if you want to turn there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 1. And Paul's writing here to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren. So even Paul, in his writings to the church, he addressed that there were times and seasons. And he's not talking here seasons as in fall and winter, spring and summer. He's talking about seasons when things happen, just like we have seasons in our lives. Have you noticed that in your own life there are seasons? Sure, there are big seasons, like seasons when you're, you know, maybe in high school, or the big season of when you're a young adult or something like that. But there are seasons, you know, just in the year in your own life, there'll be seasons that are not dictated by the weather or the temperature, but just seasons that that seems like things are happening in your life. And really, as you walk with God, he takes you through spiritual seasons. There'll be things he'll deal with you about. There's things that, you know, he'll deal. I've said several times to you recently that about this time last year, the Lord started dealing with me about willingness. And I thought, oh, I'm willing. And he said, well, I need you to be more willing. I didn't really like that because I wanted to get the big check mark, gold star for my willingness. But he wanted me to be more willing. And so it's been a season of God dealing with me about being willing. And then earlier this year, and I taught y'all about it and talked about it, he started dealing with me about being fearless. And again, I thought, oh, I'm fearless. And he wanted me to be yet more fearless. And I see now what that was about, but at the time I didn't. And so that was a season and some things that happened. And, you know, when God's dealing with you, there'll be things that happen. I'm not the only one that experiences this, am I? If you're not experiencing it, I want to tell you, you should be. It's a scriptural principle. It's a spiritual principle. God will talk to you and deal with you about things and kind of take you on this ride that's a very personal one to you. It may be similar in some ways to what somebody else is doing, but it may just be very personal to you. But he said, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And he's talking here about things that have to do with the end times and about, you know, the return of Jesus or the rapture of the church, those kinds of things. But he's saying to them, you have no need that I should write you, for you yourselves know perfectly. And he talks about these things, meaning we've talked about them before. This is evidently something that Paul had talked to them about before, that there are seasons and there are times. And that spiritual people, people that are taught of the Lord, would understand this. So I want you to make sure tonight you understand that, that there are seasons and there are times. And then over in Acts chapter 1, there's an interesting verse in Acts chapter 1. The Acts chapter 1 begins with them, do y'all remember? Because Judas had sinned against the Lord and he had betrayed the Lord, and then he went out, committed suicide. And so then the other 11 apostles gathered and they said, you know, there should be 12 of us. It's not right that there's only 11. They felt incomplete. And they said, we need somebody to replace him. Y'all remember that? And then they cast lots to see who would replace him. That's the first part of Acts chapter 1. And then on down, then it records in Acts chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to them and he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, right before Jesus said, but you shall receive power, right before that, in verse 7, he said something interesting to them. They were questioning him, and they were saying, is it now? Is it at this time that you're going to establish your earthly kingdom? See, they were thinking that Jesus was going to establish an earthly kingdom. And so he addressed that, and it's, again, in addressing it, he said something to him, I think is has a bearing on us today. He said, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. So for Jesus saying this, it shows me there are some things, there are some times and seasons that God has put in his own authority. In other words, he's not tipping his hand to us every day exactly what's happening. Is God withholding something from you that you need to know? No. Is he playing hide and seek? No. But there are things that you don't need to know, that you can't handle knowing, and that have really no bearing on you, would probably be damaging to you if you did know it. Now, probably, just don't yell this out, but just think, are there things that have happened in your life that if you'd known about them ahead of time, you just would have messed them up, or you couldn't have, you wouldn't have been able to handle knowing them? You know, I know both good and bad things in my life that I've dealt with on both sides. You know, I'm just like, it wouldn't have been good for me to know. And I've realized a long time ago, God's smarter than me. And so I know that, and I also know he's out for my good. More than I'm out for my good, God is out for my good. He loves me more than I love me. And so if he's not telling me something, it's not because he's being, you know, playing a game or he's being a big bad God. It's because I don't need to know it, and I need to be okay with that. And so do you. You need to be okay not knowing every little thing. You need to be okay with just trusting God. Now, over the last several weeks, Pastor's done a message on the core four. And one of the core four was about being led by the Holy Spirit. And one of them was about living by faith. We live by faith. We're led by the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can't really be led by the Holy Spirit if you don't know how to live by faith. Because to follow the Holy Spirit is going to require faith. You are not going to be able to follow him if you don't live by faith. That's just it. Because you're going to have to, because living by faith is really just putting yourself in God's hands and trusting him. And when he leads you by his Spirit, first of all, he's going to lead you to do things that you can only do by faith. And secondly, his leading is going to leave you blind sometimes, and you're just going to have to blindly trust him. Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? Have you ever just had to blindly trust God? Well, that's when you find out if you're really trusting God or not. Now, human nature, and particularly for some humans, human nature is all about control. We like to have control. And we like to, you know, make things happen on our time schedule. In fact, we pride ourselves on the way we can control things. And really, in our society, in some ways, the world will honor people who exert control. We think, boy, they really have it together. If you meet up with somebody, you talk to them, and they just seem to have their world perfectly ordered, there's something about that that your flesh just admires, and you think, man, I should be like that. But then there are times that there's people, they don't seem to know what they're doing, and you think, boy, you think less of them. We even in our culture kind of prize people that seem to really know what they're doing. Boy, they are decisive, and we follow those people. We tend to make them our leaders. And that can be a good thing. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't always work that way. The Bible talks about how Abram, he went out, he was following God, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And it's really hard as a leader to go out not knowing where you're going. When we were on Wrightsboro Road, we knew the Lord started dealing with us that we needed to, that it was time. It was a season that we needed to establish a permanent home for Good News Church. And so we're like, okay, well, give us a building. We're all for that. Give us a building. And he said, well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go west. And we're like, fine, give us a building. And he said, I want you to move to a temporary location. There's a step between where you are and where you're going. Well, we didn't want to hear that. After you've been in a building and you've been there for a number of years, I think we'd been there 7 years, almost 8 years, and now you want us to go. We've been there 8 years when we left, and we'd remodeled every inch of that property. Like one wall, I think we took up and down 5 times, you know. We had done everything in this property, but he's saying we want you to go. And we left. We started a capital stewardship campaign, and people pledged hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we said, great, we're moving to a school, and we're going to get a permanent home for Good News Church. And a year into it, we were no closer to where we were going as far as in the natural. We're just going, we don't know where we're going. Y'all give. We're going somewhere. Where are we going? We don't know. God hadn't told us yet. And boy, we tried everything to make it what, you know, it was a lot of pressure. It was so much pressure. When you're leading people to go somewhere, but you don't know where you're going, it was tough. And all of us, in one way, whether we're leading ourselves or leading our families or leading a church or leading a company or, you know, just leading your neighborhood, whatever you're doing, there are times when you're leading people, but you don't have all the answers. Very seldom do you have all the answers. And you got to be okay with that. And you got to be, you know, you can't just pretend. Sometimes you got to just say, people, I don't know what we're doing, but we're trusting God. And you just hope that you have people that understand what that means. I'm just trusting God. We're just going to step out here and we're going to go for it and trust God. So eventually, it took 2 years from the time we moved over there until we moved here. It was almost exactly 2 years. But God led us. But a lot of that time, we didn't know where we were going. And what I have seen is this. I've seen that it's a lot like when we used to shoot up the space shuttle. And we were going to link up, you know, we used to send the space shuttle up to send our astronauts up to the International Space Station. And the International Space Station is in orbit around the Earth. And so it's orbiting, it's out there somewhere, it's orbiting. And then we're going to send a manned spacecraft up and connect with it, dock with it. And we're going to move people and goods over one way and then another. And they're going to come back down. Well, you can't just go out and say, okay, guys, let's shoot her off. That's not what they do. They don't just walk out and say, okay, y'all ready? Everything good to go? All the systems good? All right, push the button. That's not what they do. They do a whole bunch of scientific calculations that probably none of us in this room could understand, certainly couldn't do, to determine what they call this window. Because there is this narrow window of when the shuttle could leave the Earth and what speed it would be at and what orbit it would attain so that it could eventually dock with that International Space Station. In other words, we're trying to get over there. We're right here, but because we're turning and because it's moving, we're going to have to connect in just this little window that we can connect. Y'all understand this? I understand it more because when I was a kid, we used to have the Apollo program, and there was that window where we would shoot men to the moon, or, you know, we would rocket to the moon or wherever we were going. But y'all remember, and you'd hear the news, and they'd talk about the window, and or there would be a problem, and they'd be like, well, the window's going to close in 3 minutes, so if they can't fix this problem, they're not going to be able to do it today. Y'all remember? This is the kind of stuff you'd hear, and when we had 3 stations, they were black and white, and 2 of them were really fuzzy. This is the stuff we were watching. Kids can't even relate to this. But anyway, this is the kind of stuff that we dealt with, these little windows. But there was this little window of time through which you could connect. And, you know, we deal with those little windows all the time. So much of our life is about these windows. God wants to connect us with something. You know, you just think about that. You think about God blessing you financially, how much of a connection is involved in that. He's got to deal, first of all, with a person over there, and whatever he's trying to get to you, he's got to get it to them. So he's got to connect them up somewhere. Do you see in God's economy what all's involved? So he's got to connect them up, then they got to have something, then they got to have it in a form they can get it to you. And then somehow or another, he's got to connect you with them. And there, it forms windows. It forms these little windows, which also reminds me of what God said in Malachi, that I'll open up these windows of heaven for you. He's going to create, and pastors taught us these different things that come from the windows. One of them is opportunities, because windows are opportunities. There are opportunities. There are windows. And they're critical. And I'm telling you, as you walk with God and as you're led by the Holy Spirit, you have to understand that there are times, there are seasons, there are windows. There are. There are windows. Now, just like would happen with the space shuttle going up, if you miss a window, it doesn't mean you can never send it up again. It just means you may need to wait a little while before the window comes around again. And sometimes it's like that with the things of God. But, you know, I always have this. We always talk about this. Our God is big enough that if we miss it, he can bring it back to us. He's a big enough God. We don't want to miss it, but if we're trying to get it right and we somehow or another end up missing God's, he has endless windows, endless possibilities. He can always work things for our good. Many of you have discovered that. I mean, a really good example of that is people that get married and then one thing or another happens and they end up going through a divorce, you know? And so, was that God's best that people be divorced? I don't believe it's ever God's best for people to, you know, go through broken relationships. But on the other hand, God doesn't just give up and say, well, you know, fooey on you. If he did, we'd all just be in a terrible place. We'd all already be destroyed. But God gives us other opportunities. And we have people in here tonight that was the case. They went through divorce. But that God has brought restoration in their life. What he did, he's opened up another window for you. And he brought you something. And a lot of you brought you something better than you ever had before. That's his goodness. Isn't that good? So there are windows. So just because you miss his time or something goes awry doesn't mean it's all over. Thank God for that. That's called grace, mercy. Called a lot of mercy right there. But tonight we're just talking about these times and these windows that God has. And I think it's really critical for all of us because we're always in seasons and we're always in timing. But it seems like to me that time is getting more critical. That timing is getting more critical. As time comes to a close and it seems obvious, and of course I don't know everything. I know my short granny that she told me they thought Jesus was coming back, you know. Yeah, she was born in 1909 and then she got saved in the Jesus Only movement back in the 20s. And they were convinced Jesus was coming by 1930. And then he didn't come then, and they thought, well, he'll be here, you know, in a few minutes. He'll be here. You know, they used to go to bed every night thinking, well, we might not wake up here in the morning. We may get snatched away during the night. You know, they'd see each other in the mornings, and they'd leave. And they had this living idea that Jesus was coming soon. People used to talk about that a lot. You remember? People used to talk about Jesus is coming soon. I don't hear people ever talk about that hardly anymore. People don't even seem interested in Jesus coming soon. I don't know about y'all, every day, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Except for the harvest, I'd just as soon be gone. Yeah, except for the harvest. It's the only reason to stay. Only reason I know to be here is for the harvest. Because somebody else needs to go. I don't want everybody else damned to hell. I want other people to go with us. But as soon as we get the harvest, you know, we get it, you know, reaped and get it all stacked up and put in the barn. Let's get out of here. Let's go. But meanwhile, you know, there are these seasons and times, and it seems to me, I brought that up about short granny, she thought Jesus was coming any moment in the 1930s, and now here I am in 2012, and it seems obvious. You know, even if you look at the scripture, I'm not going to do, you know, a big eschatology seminar here, but I'm telling you, the book of Daniel says in the time where knowledge was multiplied, and all you got to do is just, you know, think for a minute what has happened to knowledge in the last 100 years. And if you just, you know, just that, just what's happened to knowledge in my mother's lifetime, what's happened in my lifetime, what's happened in the last 5 years. And they say now that information and knowledge, like it doubles every few months or every few years. I mean, I can't even fathom this. But what we know, so just even based on that, it seems to me like how much longer could we really be here? But meanwhile, we're here, and there are seasons and there are times. And if you feel like time is squishing you and squeezing you and putting pressure on you, and it seems like something's going on with the time like never before, I don't think you're alone. I think we're all feeling that. And I think the reason we're feeling it is because something's going on. Something's weird's happening with the time. There's just pressures and things like we haven't had before. But what I really want to encourage us tonight is that we have to trust God's timing. We can't just trust our own timing. We all, every one of us here tonight, have a sense of how we would like things to be. We have our preferences, and probably they're different for each person. We have our preferences of how we want things to be. But I'm going to tell you, the way you want things to be is probably not the best for you, because you don't know everything. I mean, that's one thing about heaven. You know, sometimes we'll see something or whatever, and I'll say to Matt, you know, I'm pretty sure something in my mansion in heaven's going to look like that. But here's the deal. Whatever it is that I'm seeing that I think is nice and good and that I like and love, what God has for me is far greater. So I hope he's not taking decorating tips from me. It's true, because he knows what'll satisfy me and what will, you know, float my boat much better than I do. So I'm trusting him about that. Well, meanwhile, the same thing applies for right now. He knows what in 5 years, in 3 years, in next month, your life, what he could do with you and through you in your life that's going to be better for you, because he knows what he made you to do. He designed you. He really knows what's in you. The Bible says that no man knows the heart of man, not even the man himself who has the heart doesn't know his own heart. Only God knows what's in the heart of man. You don't even know really what's in your own heart. You know more about your heart than I do, but you don't even know. God knows. And so that's part of us trusting him. And with following God, there will be times where he seems to be leading you to do things that you don't understand and that you don't necessarily want to do. That's why he talks to us about willingness. Willingness. But what I have found is whenever I have submitted, it's one of those words, yielded to him, followed him, however you want to put it, whenever I've let him have his way instead of me, you know, putting down my feet, you know, what is it when you stick your heels in? Digging. Instead of digging in my heels, and I've just said, okay, we'll just go here. We'll go with what you have. I don't really understand it, but we'll go with it. It's turned out a lot better than what I imagined. And I found something on the other side that's been wonderful. You know, for years, I didn't want anything to do with ministry. I've told you many times about when I was little and they'd take me to piano lessons. I took piano lessons every week for 6 years. Anybody could learn to play the piano in 6 years if you had the lessons I had. But because my short granny told me every time that I got back home how I had to learn to play the piano, because every preacher's wife has to know how to play the piano. So it was like, that's the last thing I'm going to learn to do. Like, I on purpose didn't learn to play the piano, because I'm not going to do that. That's not what the last thing I'm going to see. She was a preacher's wife and she didn't play the piano and she felt bad about it her whole life. And so she's trying to help me because she figures I'm going to be a preacher. I don't know why she thought I would be a preacher's wife. She just had it that that's what it was going to be. Maybe she's the one responsible for this. I don't know. But she was just, and so I was just bound and determined. No way. So I go off to ORU and like people would talk to me that would meet me and they'd go, well, you're obviously going to be a minister and a preacher, you know, obviously. I'm like, no, not me. No way. I'm not doing that. They'd be like, well, it's so obvious. And I'm like, well, maybe to you, but not, you know, something's wrong with you. And then I meet Matt and Matt's like going to be a preacher. And I'm like, well, you're going to have to get over that, buddy. You know, I mean, that was like a point of contention for a long time between us, because I didn't want anything to do with that. I wouldn't even let it come in my mind. Something about that I didn't like. I don't know exactly all the psychology behind it. Gary, you can analyze me later, but I didn't know. But somehow or another, I was not going to do that. And so I was 30 years old before that window opened and I realized, oh my goodness, maybe actually I am going to do this. But I was so against it, but it ended up being the very thing that's brought me so much joy and that I've actually been able to do pretty easily in some ways. You know, it's been really difficult, but on the other hand, you discover, wait, maybe I'm actually gifted to do this. I didn't know that all those years. You see what I'm saying? And so there's things about you that are probably like that. There's things like that still in my life, probably like that. Secrets about you that are going to, you know, that God knows that you don't know. They're going to jump out. You're going to be like, whoa, I sure wasn't going to do that. But look how much it's, you know, fulfilled me and satisfied me. So bringing all that up, because the only way that we can walk in that is if we're going to trust God. We're going to realize that He has a plan, and if we follow Him and not be so, you know, hell-bent, so to speak, on controlling everything, and it is hell-bent, you know, it comes out of hell, on controlling everything instead, letting go of some things and letting Him have, you know, letting Him form us and shape us and letting Him determine what, you know, is going to bring pleasure to Him. And ultimately, if it pleases Him, isn't it going to please us? I think so. I don't read the Bible and see where God wants all the pleasure and we'll get none. I think if He gets pleasure, we'll get pleasure. If He's pleased, we'll be pleased. Probably a lot more than any, well, obviously more than any other thing. In Galatians 4, the scripture, you don't necessarily need to turn there, but the scripture, Paul's writing there, and he's talking about redemption itself, and he's talking about Jesus coming and being manifested as our Savior. And the scripture, it even says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. So time gets full. There comes a time for things. And I know some of you, you look in your life and you, well, just like Gary, and I like to use you for an example, evidently. Gary, for a number of years, spent his life doing one thing, and then now he's doing something so different than what he was doing before. And does that mean that you miss God all those years? I can't say that that's what it means. But I do know this. Finally, the fullness of time for this came. The fullness of time for this came. And so there's just a lot of trust in God. Many of you know God's got something for you to do in your life. You know your heart is full of something. But you're wondering, when is that going to happen? And you spend a lot of time wondering, not just when, but how is it going to happen? Well, the only thing I can tell you is this. You're going to have to trust God. It's not about you making it happen. It's about being obedient to Him and trusting Him and letting Him make it happen. Because He has that way of making things happen supernaturally. And really, that's how you want it to happen. You want it to be supernatural. You don't want it to be something you did. I know, just like with Maddie, was 33. He knew he was called to ministry when he was 19. So for 14 years, he wondered when. And it seemed like in his life, he was moving farther and farther away from it. But there, in the fullness of time, there was a tent meeting on Gordon Highway where James Brown came and drove up in the hugest stretch limo I've ever seen. And it had a rows of lights running down it like this. You remember that stretch limo? And it pulls up. And of course, they keep it running the whole time he's under the tent. He's under the tent sweating like a dog in this suit. And that man could sweat. I'm talking about James Brown, the James Brown. He is sweating down. Well, I mean, his hair alone would make you sweat, you know, even on a cold day. I mean, he had a lot of hair. He was, come on, just the energy emanating from him. Of course, the stretch limo, they kept it, you know, nice, cool, probably 66 degrees over there. But he's sweating under the tents, you know, it's late June in Augusta, Georgia. Just the humidity alone will do you in. I don't know what James Brown had to do with my story. But anyway, it was during that tent meeting that the fullness of time came. And it was the last night of that tent meeting where he said on, you know, in TGI Fridays up in Washington Road at 1 o'clock in the morning where they're trying to shut the place down and where they're talking, and he throws up his hands and says, I'll do it, church. That was the fullness of time. It took 14 years for time to be full. But it came. And then when we were ordained, one of the things that was said to him when we were ordained is, you're right on time. You're not late. Because he felt like for 14 years he was missing it. That I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That I'm out of God's will. And you ever had those days where you're like, what about me, God? Everybody else seems like they're these great things you're doing in their lives and you're using them or working in them or promoting them. And what about me? Did you know I'm down here? What about me? But the fullness of time comes. It comes. So I'm just encouraging all of you. You got to trust God in the meanwhile. You're going to have to trust God then. You might as well go ahead and start trusting Him now. It's the truth. I'm telling you that what I'm telling you here is true. It's the truth. So you're waiting to make your connection, you know, because there's your connection out there and you're waiting for this opportunity where you're going to, you know, blast off. But meanwhile, you're here on the launching pad. What are you supposed to be doing? What do you do in the meanwhile? Because all of us, no matter what we're doing, we're all in a meanwhile. We're all, whatever's going on in our lives, we're all waiting for some opportunity about something. And you, I'm going to tell you, you can, and I've seen people do this. I've seen people blast off, but they never make their connection. Because they weren't in the window. They weren't following God's timing. They were just doing it themselves. And oh, I'm going to tell you, there was a big explosion and there was a big trail and there was all the stuff that goes, you know, with the illuminating the night sky. But then it was gone, man. And I know people like that. Boy, they had a rocket blasting start and then it wasn't long. And you're like, now whatever happened to them? And what they did, it just fizzled out and nothing came of it. The Bible says that God desires not just fruit, but fruit that remains. I don't want to just blast off and never go anywhere. I don't want to just make a big splash and be like, you know, what the world calls a one-hit wonder. You want a long-term career in music. You want longevity in whatever you're doing, don't you? Don't you want to build and grow to something? Maybe you're not growing as quickly as you think you should or building as quickly as you should. But meanwhile, there's something to be said for just being steady, being stable. People want to, woo! But I'm telling you, there's just, I really admire stability in people because I know how difficult it is to be stable in this shaky, mixed up world. People dart off here and they dart off there. Something about just being stable says something to me. That's a sign of spiritual maturity. It is just being stable. Being steady. Sometimes, you know, you think, well, God's not doing anything with me. I tell you, some of you, just the fact that you've been in one, the same church for the last 2 years and you've actually attended church, that's a huge thing in your life. You should look at that and say, God's doing something here. God, the fruit of the Spirit, they're being born out in my life. Just being steady and stable, staying with something. But you don't want to stay with it so long you miss your opportunity out of fear or reluctance. So, you know, you can get in a ditch both ways. But what do you do? What do you do when you're waiting for your connection? Well, the first thing I'd advise you to do is do what James admonished us to do in the first chapter. James chapter 1, we'll read verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Notice he says when, not if. It's one of those words we need to just mark out in our Bible. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Meaning you're going to be falling into trials. We live on planet Earth, y'all. That's what part of life on planet Earth is. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Oh, there's a word we love. Patience. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience in your life, and hopefully you have become more patient as you've grown in the things of God. But patience is a sign, again, that you're maturing spiritually, that something's happening. If you're an impatient person and that's what causes people to dart from place to place, thing to thing, and not stay steady. You gotta be patient. And patience comes. And it says here, but let patience have its perfect work. In other words, patience is going to work something in you. Patience actually needs to change you and work in you. And because whatever the opportunity is, you're not going to be able to take advantage of it if the work hasn't been done. It's just like the shuttle. If the shuttle blasts off, but the work hasn't been done on the shuttle to prepare it, if all the tiles aren't going to stay glued, you can have a great adventure, but the reentry is going to be a disaster. We saw that. So you want things to be prepared. You want the work to be done before you blast off. And that's what it's talking about here. Patience needs to work in us. So when you're going through this, when it seems like you're in this trial, that your opportunity is never going to come, patience, let patience work in you. Learning to be at peace in the middle of all that, boy, that's a lesson. Let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete. And it doesn't mean perfect in the sense of what we think of. The word perfect in the Bible often means just complete and whole. That you would not be missing any parts. It doesn't mean that there's no imperfections in the sense of what we think of. But that means you're whole and complete. So that you would be complete. In other words, that you would have what you need when you blast off to actually make your connection and fulfill your mission. And that's what we need. I remember the first few years of our church. Many times I had the thought, I wish I had been better prepared. See, we didn't get in ministry till I was 30. Matt was 33. He had known for 14 years. But I felt like, my goodness, if I wish I should have prepared better. I wasn't fully prepared. I had some catching up to do. It took us a long time to figure out what the heck we were doing as pastors. And we were easily persuaded and pulled off. It took us a number of years to figure out even what God had called us to do. Thank you, so many of you, for bearing with us through those years. I mean, honestly. But patience, it's going to work in you, and it will enable you to be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. There's some things that we lack, and God needs to equip us. We need to be equipped. That's what Ephesians 4 says, that there are actually gifts God set in the body to equip us. But that's not the only way we're equipped. The Spirit of God's working in us ultimately to equip us and get us ready. But then he tells us in verse 5, and this is the thing I'm trying to get to that we need to do. If any of you lacks wisdom, and you're thinking, well, I don't lack wisdom. I'm going to tell you, if there's anything that any of us lacks, it's wisdom. I mean, anytime I read, if any of you lacks wisdom, I think, oh, that's me. And it says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Another word for that is called pray. Let him pray. Let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Then it goes on to say, but let him ask in faith. See, you can't be led by the Holy Spirit and find out what God wants you to do without faith. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. In other words, there's no stability. You're from thing to thing, you're rocking, you're shaking. There's just no way to make progress when you're just tossed, tossed, tossed. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man. It means he's got two minds. One day he's this way, the next day he's that way. I'm going to follow God. No, I'm going to work this out. No, I'm going to follow God. No, I'm going to do what they're doing. No, I'm going to follow God. You know, it's just, well, maybe this is what God wants. Well, I see them doing that. I should do this. And I mean, no, forget it. You got to get settled up that God's got your best interest at heart. And if you'll settle down and trust him and just do what's ahead of you to do and pray, asking specifically for wisdom, then it'll bring stability in your life, and you'll begin to make progress. And when that opportunity comes, you'll be perfect. You'll be complete, and you'll be ready to take advantage of it. That's good preaching, y'all. That was worth driving over here tonight. It's good preaching. So pray. Pray for what? Pray for wisdom. And if you don't regularly pray for wisdom, do it. Start doing it. It's not rocket science. It is literally, God, I need your wisdom. I need you to tell me what it is. One translation says, if you don't know what it is that God wants you to do, ask. So every day I say, God, what would you have me to do? I need you to show me what to do. Because I certainly have some ideas here, but that's not what we're going with. We're not going to do what Susie thinks to do, knows to do. We need some wisdom here. So that should be something all of us ask God for all the time. I need wisdom. And there's times when you're really in a pickle, the best thing you can do is ask God for wisdom. And then trust whatever he tells you. So many times, not long ago, something was going on. It was really unsettled. There was a lot of questions and everything. And Matt said, it's okay. God told me, trust him. It's going to be okay. And, you know, I wish you had Matt to live with you so he could tell you that. Because whenever he tells me that, I'm like, okay, it's going to be okay. It's just so wonderful. I have a husband who asks God, well, what should we do? Whatever. Just trust me. It's okay. It may be he just tells me that just to, you know, help me get calm. Maybe that's a secret. I don't want to know if that's what it is. But he tells me, and it always is. Whenever he tells me that, it's always okay. I just trust God. And what that means is, Susie, you don't have to work it out. You don't have to do your Susie magic. You know, Susie's got some little magic. And just calm that down. Don't do that. Don't worry about it. Take a breather. Leave me alone. Maybe that's what it is. So that's the first thing. Ask for wisdom. The second thing is prepare. I talked about that just a moment ago. Prepare. How do you know how to prepare? Well, I tell you how you know how to prepare. The one who prepares you lives in you. So you know, that's part of it is I'm trusting you to prepare me. Because if I don't even know what I'm going to be doing, how do I know to prepare? Well, if I trust him, I'll be prepared. If I walk with him, listen to him, follow him, I'll be prepared. Isn't that right? See, there's so much involved in this whole life of faith and being led by the Holy Spirit. It's not just, you know, this one moment kind of thing. Oh, God, which job do I take? It's not like that. He's got your whole life in mind, and he's wanting you to trust him every day. And then that brings me to the last, to my third one, which is trust God. So you pray, particularly for wisdom, prepare, follow in the Holy Spirit. This is rocket science, you guys, isn't it? I'm going to give you a formula later because you're going to need that, right? Trust God and hang on. You know, have any of you ever been down like a giant slide, or any of you ever ridden a roller coaster that has like one of those really big dips or this whirlwind? Any of y'all ever been that? Or maybe, I know some of y'all went to Jamaica. Some of you young people went to Jamaica and you jumped off the, what was that place called? Rick's Cafe. And there's that, is it Nick's or Rick's? Rick's Cafe, and you jump off into the water. You know, I have a picture of Molly jumping off and all of her hair. She had long hair, and all of her hair is way up in the air. And it's as long as her legs are. It's a really funny picture of her going through there. So it's like 35 feet or some huge. I can't believe my daughter, that y'all let my daughter do that. But a bunch of them were doing it. Have y'all ever done that, done something that was like that? I've had several things, you know, you just kind of start physically doing something. And I don't know about you, but I don't really like roller coasters, but I'll ride them. I don't really like, you know, I don't understand, but I think it's the adrenaline rush, or maybe I don't know what it is that compels humans to do these crazy things that we do. But this is what I have found. If I'm on some kind of situation like in or whatever, a roller coaster, if I will just hang on, it'll eventually come to a stop. I've never yet been on one that didn't come to a stop. And I've just found that sometimes I have to just close my eyes and hang on. And those big giant slides, you know, I've been on some of those like big water slides. And what I found is if I will just, you know, because they tell you to sit like this, if I will just do this, I can even close my eyes and I just do this, I eventually come to the bottom. Never been on one yet that I didn't come to the bottom. Never jumped off anything that I didn't eventually land. And I'm telling you, there's just something to be said for hanging on. And I feel like that regularly in my life. I tell myself, this is just like the giant slide. This is just like jumping off the cliff. If I'll just hang on, so to speak, I'm getting to the bottom. It's going to come eventually. It'll be over. In other words, I'm not always going to be on this roller coaster. I'm going to be on a bigger one next month. But meanwhile, I'm just going to hang on here. And so I just said, hang on in faith. Don't give up. Don't go berserk. Don't lose your mind. Just hang on and do it in faith. And then the last thing is this. Pray, but pray in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close by reading you the scripture, John chapter 16, verse 13, in the Amplified. John 16:13 is something that you've heard us read many times. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. Do you see that? He will show us what is to come. Will he show us everything about everything in the future? No. But he'll show us just what we need to know. He will announce and he will declare to us. I like where he says he's announcing it, because he's not whispering it. Yeah, and he's not sending it to us in Morse code, because I don't know Morse code. And he's not, you know, like putting it in hieroglyphics that we got to figure it out because it's all so obscure. He will announce it to us. I like that. And I tend to believe God's got a really nice, crisp, good announcer voice. You know what I'm saying? He will announce it to us and he will declare. I like those words. That you understand both of the announce and declare. That sounds like he just stands up and says it to you. He's announcing. He's declaring. He's not like, ooh, 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 if you can catch a little glimmer. He's not like that. But I have noticed when I pray in other tongues, the announcements come through much clearer. They do. The declarations, I understand. They're not garbled. It's not what it is. You ever talk to, I was talking to somebody on a cell phone today, and like I heard every third word. It's very difficult to understand when you're only getting every third word. And I feel like that sometimes with God, you know, and I know it's not on his end, it's my end. praying in other tongues. It clears out whatever's blocking, you know. It brings the transmission in clear. It helps. And a lot of times, you know what's blocking it? It's me. It's my desires. It's my fleshliness. It's me, you know, my distractions, my cares that are weighing heavily on me. All those things can hinder us and keep us from hearing clearly. Our own stubbornness, our crawl. You know how we get things in our crawl, and so then we can't hear because we don't want to hear because, well, I don't like that, you know. All that mess you have going on. It's not just me. I know you do too. And it'll keep us from hearing. Well, Larry, we all know Larry's got it going. Dear God, let's all pray for Larry. It's this, you know, but I'm telling you, it's common to all of us. We all can miss the transmissions. But if we'll, something about praying in the Holy Spirit. And here's why. I mean, I know why. Because when you pray in the Holy Spirit, where do the words come from? They come from in here. Well, guess what? The announcements and declarations, guess where they come from? They come in here. So all you're doing is just, you know, it's just the warm up for what he's about to tell you. Because when I hear from God, I hear from him from the same place where whenever I say hikimo shanda, not those particular words, but when I pray in other tongues, where it comes from. When I pray in other tongues, it doesn't come out of my head. It comes from within me. It comes out of my belly. Out of my belly flow these rivers of living waters. Well, in that same way, that's where his declarations and announcements come from. They come from in here. He's not late making the announcements. Sometimes, you know, I say to him, sometimes I say, you know, okay, you got anything for me? I know I've gone just a little bit long, but when David Ingalls was here with us not long ago, David was sharing that one day he was in a bookstore, and he was walking through the bookstore, and as he went to leave, this guy comes up to him and says, "What did he say?" And David said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "I just heard you say, 'Yes, Lord, I'll do that.' What did he say?" And David looked at the guy and he said, "I was just getting ready for when he does say something. I was just practicing." He said, "Every day I say all the time, 'Yes, Lord, I'll do that.' Because when he does tell me, I want to be ready. So I was rehearsing already what I was going to say." And he didn't even dawn on him what he was doing. He just does that all the time. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. And the kid thought, what did he say? And he's just like, well, you know, anytime I want to be ready, yes, Lord, I'll do that. Well, you do that. And God will be saying things to you. And I tell you, when God speaks to you and you obey, you know what happens? Yes, good things, blessings, the supernatural. Something that no man could ever make happen. And the kind of thing that we talked about all year long, astonishing things. Jaw dropping, lightning from the sky in a good way. That's what happens. And you're like, oh, where'd that come from? It came because you said, yes, Lord, I'll do that. Well, let's stand. Just take one moment. Father, we thank you so much for your Spirit who lives within us. Forgive us for ever taking for granted the fact that God himself lives in us and talks to us and prepares us and announces things to us and leads us. We have an inner guidance system. And Father, forgive us for ever getting antsy or anxious about the timing. We trust you with the timing. We trust that you have these things under your authority, and we just lean on you, and we rest, and we let patience have its perfect work in us tonight. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for enabling all of us to walk more worthy of what you've called us to do, and I know this is a big part of it, that we would all walk worthy.